It's a Wednesday, so we talk technology with our guru, Jeff Quattromani, on a Wednesday. How are you this morning, mate?
I'm really well, mate. How are you?
I'm not too bad. I'm pleased that there'll be another appliance in the kitchen that I can have a chat to soon.
Look, if you weren't having enough time talking to your coffee machine and your fridge, you'll now actually be able to talk to your dishwasher. Now, you may think, well, why on earth would I need to do that? But when you have a dishwasher that's powered by, say, at the Amazon Alexa voice system, that means that when you go to bed, if you've forgotten to turn the dishwasher on, you just ask Alexa to do it for you.
So that's pretty much what it is. It's just like I can fire off my dishwasher from my bedroom. I can say, hey, Alexa, get the dishwasher working for us, please.
There's that. There's also, you know, asking whether the load is finished or even just changing the settings before you do turn it on as well. So very basic things. It's just really taking away the need to have more buttons on the front of the appliance and really, I don't know, who hasn't wanted to just turn a dishwasher on through voice?
Actually, you might have hit on the most important thing, because at a dishwasher we had at a recent house is every time you leant up against it, you pressed a button or two. So if you didn't have that, you wouldn't have to worry about it.
Exactly. And we're already starting to see a lot of dishwashers with the buttons on the inside or on the top of the door, so to speak. But if you were to get to a point where you could take away some of the buttons, some of the dials, make it more app-controlled, yeah, it could be a much more sleeker device, especially things like the microwave. A lot of these devices do have a lot of buttons, and if we can make it cleaner, why not?
At some stage in the future, will we be able to walk into our kitchen and have the appliances having a conversation with each other, like the coffee machine and the microwave and the dishwasher? They would certainly start talking about revolution, because they'd be sick to death of putting up with our rubbish all the time.
Well, actually, a couple of years ago, to touch on that, I saw Whirlpool demonstrate communication between appliances, and that was when I put a roast in the oven tells the dishwasher to expect a large roasting dish, so it automatically changes the setting on the dishwasher. So we're not that far from that kind of conversation taking place.
Skynet is almost very, very real.
Yeah.
All right, now talk to me about an OLED television. What is an OLED television?
So we're starting to see OLED TVs come more to other brands. And what OLED is effectively is a deeper black, where you have a television which is normally powered by lights. LED TVs, where even when you're trying to show black on screen, there is an LED that's still powered on. So there is an element of black being displayed. With OLED, it completely switches off, which means that black is completely black and white is still white. But what we're starting to see, LG has led this charge for a long time, saying that OLED was the best type of TVs you could buy. Samsung ignored that for such a long time until now. So now Samsung have made OLED televisions to go alongside their normal LED TVs. But my big question, which I have to answer very often to people, is should I get an OLED TV or a normal LED TV? And the answer is simple. If you've got a dark room, so you don't have a lot of natural light coming into that room,
yep,
OLED is fantastic. It looks great. But if you've got natural light coming in, you need a bright TV, then LED is better because it does produce a brighter image. So if you're looking for which one to decide on, yeah, OLED's beautiful. But if you've got natural light coming into the room, it's not as good as an LED TV.
The last thing I wanted to touch on is they talk about the volatility of cryptocurrency, and some poor fella has lost $150 million, but not how you would have thought.
Look, this is crazy. I mean, when Bitcoin sort of first started to emerge, you could download the coins effectively and you would store them on your computer. And they were also very cheap, like a few cents to have 100 Bitcoin. And, you know, people 10 to 11 years ago were doing that. And it was more of a joke. Somebody had so much Bitcoin, actually 8,000 coins in 2013, that they had them on a hard drive. That hard drive eventually went into a box. That box eventually got put into the trash. And now the man has realized he actually has $150 million sitting on that hard drive if he can retrieve that Bitcoin. It's in a tip. It's in a tip. And he is trying to work with the council to get permission to put robots and artificial intelligence into that tip to try and really sort through the trash and find a heck of a lot of money.
He's probably going to spend $100 million doing it, but he'll still come out on top if he finds it.
He certainly would. I'll be doing it. And the problem is, I think they've named the place. I'm sure there's people trying to break in already.
Oh, dear, oh, dear. The security there must be pulling their hair out. There'd be people there day and night just digging the place up.
I wouldn't trust the security either.
Oh, well, just be aware of what you're throwing out with your next computer. It just might be worth about $150 million. Hey, Jeff, as always, thank you very much for joining us. We'll have a chat again next week.
Thank you for having me.